And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
There's been one demand, and that's holding up that Lombardi trophy, period. That's all I care about, is holding that trophy up and holding that trophy up here.
The prime thing is you have to win. You have to win. Otherwise, you can't be a success in professional football.
You're listening to The State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to an emergency podcast edition of The State of the Nation. I am Jimmy Durkin, joined, as always, by Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, Ted Nguyen. John Gruden is no longer the Raiders head coach. He resigned on Monday afternoon after more emails were released. The New York Times putting out emails that showed not just the racist remarks that he had made in the email that had been reported on Friday, but homophobic, misogynistic remarks, plenty of offensive remarks, really across the spectrum of the league. Basically, there was no way he could remain as a coach, and he was not fired. He did resign. That was the move that went down, and just a stunning, really a stunning series of events in the last 4 or 5 days as the Raiders, not that long ago, were 3-0 and looking like a team that might have turned the corner. And now John Gruden, 3 seasons and 5 games into that 10-year contract, is out.
Yeah, this had to happen. You know, it's one thing that even though the initial racist email was obviously bad and offensive, you know, there was some room, if that was the only one, to, you know, make the case, hey, this was 10 years ago, it was a one-time outburst, you know, that's not really who I am. But, you know, when you have several emails that are offensive to several groups in multiple ways spread out over a period of time, almost lasting a decade, and that's just what we know of through these emails, I mean, that shows, you know, somebody who's, you know, expressed it and showed themselves to believe in bigotry, you know, for a long time. And, you know, that's something that really for any organization, you know, you can't have that being almost any employee, but especially your head coach and somebody as big of stature as Gruden, who was the face of the franchise. And, you know, for the last few seasons, you know, when you think of the Raiders, you think Gruden, and they're inseparable. And but particularly with the Raiders and, you know, their history of pushing diversity and everything that Al Davis did in that area, and Mark Davis, you know, trying to do his best to sort of live up to the ideals that his father lived to, you know, it's just something that he just couldn't put up with. And, you know, while Gruden resigned, whether he resigned, if he didn't resign, he was going to get fired. You know, we can kind of get into the difference between the two later on, but he had to go.
Yeah, I think Friday when we talked about this, the first email, I think trying to figure out how the Raiders will respond with the punishment. I think always in the back of your mind was like, well, this is the tip of the iceberg. If there's more, then he's done. You know, you can possibly come back from one. He tried to explain it. His apologies weren't great. I think his body language, which wasn't great. I think it turns out on Friday, he also told, you know, ESPN's Chris Mortensen that he hadn't made comments about Roger Goodell. Didn't tell him exactly what he said, but obviously John knew what he said at that point. So I think, and maybe Mark Davis did also. So at some point, Gruden must have realized that more was coming, because, I mean, once people heard what the comments were and just how ugly they were, and there's no way he could have thought he could have continued on with his job based on the other emails that were going to come out. So, yeah, it was a done deal once they came out last night. He couldn't be the face of the franchise. He couldn't lead a group of men into any more games. That was it. So I think it is shocking just the turnaround from the last, you know, what, 3 weeks ago, they were 3-0. He was like one of the highest coaches in the league, maybe finally, you know, and hit his mark, and all this roster rebuilding was going to pay off. And now he's out of a job because of some ugly, ugly emails.
You know, part of your responsibility as a head of a franchise is to keep your image clean, you know, and that's just, you're held to a higher standard because your image and words are tied to the franchise any self-respecting organizations wouldn't want those words tied to them. So you can't be the face of and leader of an organization that prides itself on a history of inclusion when you have personal quotes, you know, with racist, sexist, anti-gay language floating in the public. And as a head coach, you're held to higher standards. So for all those people that, you know, talk about, you know, it's a shame that these private emails came out and everybody has, you know, bad language in their private emails. There's just 32 head coaches in the league, and you can't be one of those guys when, you know, those kinds of things are being floated out there.
I mean, as I wrote last week, you know, it's not just about it, you know, being bad emails. I mean, this sort of thing, especially when it's repeated and varied in the way that it is, I mean, it's a reflection of your character and who you are. You know, if you're emailing this sort of thing and you feel comfortable emailing this from your company account to somebody else, you know, official account, chances are you're probably saying it in real life too, in text messages and phone calls, and it's just who you are. You know, typically, you know, when it's repeated over this sort of way, and you know, whether it led to outrage or not, you know, at some point morality has to come into the picture. Where do you really want somebody who's shown this is who they are, you know, running your organization?
I think if you're the Raiders, and Vic, you wrote about the many questions that are facing Mark Davis right now. You know, I think the big one is, you know, the NFL turned over these emails, they said on Friday. Mark Davis, in his statement after this came out, said that he would be reviewing this email and other documents sent by the league. So that allows us to presume that as of Friday, Mark Davis had all of these emails. He knew the content of them. He knew what his head coach had written over a span that, as the New York Times now reported on Monday, spanned 7 years, up ending in early 2018. That's notable to me because early 2018, that's when John Gruden was hired as the Raiders head coach. January 9th, 2018, he was introduced. So that kind of spits in the face of the argument that, well, all of this was done before he was the head coach. Now, early 2018 is vague enough that maybe it happened up until the day before, a couple days before he was hired. But it's not like this was something that can be fully dismissed as, oh, this was only when he was working for ESPN. And I think if we can presume that Mark Davis had these emails on Friday, the fact that he allowed his coach to go out there on Sunday, it was a terrible mistake. I mean, who knows? Maybe the rest of the emails don't get leaked out if they suspend him, if they do something on Friday. But the fact that they didn't and just allowed this to go on is a bad look for Mark Davis right now.
Yeah, I think two things. I think, though, so people were trying to figure out the timeline when he said it, like, you know, if the Raiders are really, you know, responsible for what he said 10 years ago. But to me, it doesn't matter when he said it. I mean, if he wrote it and said it, they own his personality. He's the face of the franchise. Whatever he said at some point is who he is. And that's who you have, you know, talking for your franchise every day. And so I think that, to me, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't really matter when he said it. I mean, he has to own it, and they have to own it. And Mark Davis did not own it. Mark Davis, clearly, I mean, I don't know exactly what emails he had, when, where he knew from, but even in his statement on Friday, he said that I have to review this email, the one that came out from Wall Street Journal, plus other materials the league gave me. He said, that's what he said, other materials the league gave me. So clearly he had more, probably had this, because we mentioned, you know, John Gruden told Mortensen about the Goodell slander. So, yeah, I mean, I think maybe his, you know, first reaction is to push back. The league says, hey, we want you to do this. Like, yeah, I don't really want to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. But again, that was the wrong call. I mean, if he knew what Roger Goodell was called in his emails, then yeah, you can't have him coach your team on Sunday. It can't happen. You can't have, and I think, I don't know if you want John to face it up or maybe admit to it, because John talked to the media twice in the last few days, and both times he apologized, but I wouldn't say his body language was great. Didn't really own more than what he did in terms of the first email. So, yeah, I think it was a big misstep, like you said. I think you have to assume Mark Davis knew about the emails on Friday, and having him coach on Sunday was a mistake. Having him, in my mind, having him resign, not getting fired, is a mistake. Not making a bigger statement last night, just saying, I accept his resignation. That was all Mark said. That's not good enough. I mean, for a guy who prides himself on the history of his organization, the inclusion, you know, the minority hiring record, all things that this you know, Raiders have stood for, that comment was, to me, was pretty weak. I think that I'm sure Mark will talk at some point in more detail, but you needed more from him last night than what he got. I think it was a bad look.
You know, as you said, it was a weak move, but also just obviously wasn't Gruden's first time working for the Raiders. You know, Mark Davis, somebody who was obviously around the first time Gruden was the coach, and you know, obviously they became close, and he wanted him bad enough to get to ultimately convince him to come back and leave his broadcast job. I mean, It's kind of hard to believe at no point, you know, in what's been, what, over two decades of knowing Gruden that, you know, you just had no inkling of any of this sort of thing being a part of his character in terms of the kind of statements that he was making. And to me, everybody, you know, there's some kind of vetting process when you hire a coach. It kind of brings the question, like, you know, did you really dig that deep? You know, how did you miss these emails? How did that sort of thing not come up? And then just combining all of that with some of the other missteps that Mark Davis has had, you know, initially telling his players not to protest in his jersey, you know, the I Can Breathe tweet this summer, allowing Gruden to resign instead of firing him. There's a lot of areas where he needs something that's strong to kind of push against, you know, the picture that's kind of being painted throughout all of that. And he missed, you know, opportunity, you know, letting Gruden go out there and coach. And then he missed another opportunity by not firing him and allowing him to resign.
I mean, I guess the question becomes what happens next. You know, obviously Rich Bisaccia is the interim coach. I don't think he'll likely be a serious candidate to be the permanent coach. The Raiders are going to have time to start looking at candidates. I think you have to look organizationally. This team doesn't have a leader. You know, Mark Davis is the owner. You know, is not a guy that I think you want being the prime decision maker, leader of your operation. I think they have to find a way. You know, we all know about the Mark Bedain resignation. That adds another layer to this. This team on the business side lost a lot of people before the season started. And I think before you can even worry about who's going to be the next coach of this team, you know, will Mike Mayock keep his job, all that kind of stuff, I think this team needs to find a strong president of football operations, new team president. They need to find somebody that knows what they're doing to really lead all aspects of this organization. As Vic, you wrote, I mean, he now in 4 months has lost the two people, John Gruden and Mark Bedain, that basically ran everything to deal with this organization.
I'm sure Mike Mayock will want to be that guy. I'm sure Mike will make a push to be like the voice and kind of the new face of the franchise. And maybe Mark Davis says he will be the rest of the year. I'm not sure that he'll allow him to be. Maybe Mark will think he'll be that guy. So I do think it'll be fascinating to see what happens as far as Mike Mayock and Mark Davis. And like you mentioned, who's going to be the guy, the kind of the new face of the franchise, the guy who kind of has, you know, the buck stops here kind of guy. And or do you go the vacuum of that guy not exist this season? You wait till the offseason and kind of just go. Because it is weird because the whole organization, you know, the coaching staff, the front office, the players, were all made in John Gruden's mind. John Gruden decided everything. And so now this team is in his image. And now he's gone. So, like, Rich Bisaccia will try, I'm sure, and keep things going the same way as far as the playbook, maybe the offense, but his strategies. But I'm sure he'll want to do his own stamp on things. I'm sure Olsen now, the play caller, will try and do his own little wrinkles here and there. So how much they break away from what John Gruden had in mind will definitely be, you know, something to watch the rest of the season and going forward.
Let's go backwards a little bit. You know, as far as the rest of his contract, does it just get terminated and he doesn't get paid the rest of his contract as well?
That's my assumption. I mean, we never really saw the contract. Coach's deals are kind of weird. Like the whole $100 million 10-year thing was kind of something that Bob Lamont, his agent, said. And no one really, I mean, Mark Davis said, yeah, that's right. You know, so you don't really know if he got that much money for that long a time. Obviously, it was a huge deal. And I don't know what the clauses were, but my first reaction to having Gruden resign versus firing him is maybe that gets you legally off the hook for the rest of the contract. That's maybe there wasn't a morality clause in the deal. Maybe that's why it went this way, but I really don't know. But I'm pretty certain that they're done paying John Gruden. Whatever they paid him in the past, you know, I'm sure that's not coming back, but I would seriously have a hard time believing that they owe him any more money going forward.
And I mean, I know for some Raider fans, they're going to look at that as the bright side. John Gruden's tenure here has not been great. You know, it started bumpy, started with promises to bring back Khalil Mack and then a trade. The best season was last season, going 8-8. You know, this year looked like it had some promise. So for a lot of Raider fans, they wanted to find a way to get away from Gruden. But regardless of whether you wanted Gruden here, you wanted him gone, this isn't the way you wanted it to happen, because it's just an ugly mark on the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a much better look for you while it's more expensive. It's a much better outcome to have him be fired for what's happening on the field than have something like this. But it's really a hard reset for the franchise. I mean, they're in a new city after relocation. They have a new team president or interim team president in Dan Ventrell. Coach is gone. Mike Mayock, you know, he potentially could be gone as GM. So going into this offseason, you know, owner Mark Davis sort of has another opportunity to kind of start over again, which, you know, obviously isn't what fans were expecting to hear at the beginning of this year. They were hoping to get back to having postseason success. But I don't think there's any sort of quick fix to this kind of thing. You know, you have to overhaul it, and both from a front office perspective and then on the roster, there are going to be some serious decisions to be made for whoever ends up being in control moving forward. I mean, this is a team that's largely made up of guys on rookie deals or veterans who are on one-year deals or non-guaranteed deals moving forward. And so there's an opportunity for them to have a ton of cap space this upcoming offseason. They still have all of their picks. Just like the new coach doesn't approve of Derek Carr or something of that nature, maybe he could get traded to free up more space and accumulate more picks. And so, I mean, this upcoming offseason obviously is enormous for the Raiders, but, you know, at least I guess you could say on the bright side, you know, they don't have to pay Gruden all that money, which is important for a franchise that's short on cash following the relocation. And given, you know, Mark Davis isn't, you know, as obviously he's a very wealthy man, but maybe not as wealthy as some of the other NFL owners out there. But I just think, you know, this offseason between obviously the coaching vacancy, the money that they have at their disposal, the draft picks, you know, maybe they can kind of salvage this thing moving forward. It's better than being locked in maybe with some deals that they couldn't move or other things of that nature.
Yeah, I think this is an opportunity for the franchise to just hit the total reset button. And like Vic said, you know, this franchise right now is built in Gruden's image, and they don't have the guy that has that vision for the franchise running the franchise. You have to start over again. And it's an opportunity to start over again with maybe a front office that's a little bit more forward thinking, you know, obviously with another head coach, because, you know, I just don't think that you could continue on with the path that Gruden has set, especially since there has been no real success for you to justify keeping it going. So, you know, if I were Mark Davis, I would hit the reset button on this thing for sure and move forward.
Tough thing about a reset button is, like, usually the new person coming in would want to fall back on, you know, the recent draft picks, things you built up, but the recent draft picks have not been good. And John, I mean, they've won so far. They were 3-2, they're 3-0, kind of despite, you know, the draft picks they made over the last 3 or 4 years. So, I mean, there's really not a great foundation in place here. Like, the quarterback needs an extension or else he'll be gone. So it's not really, it may seem like the team's in good shape in terms of there's some talent in the roster, but looking forward, there's not really that foundation you'd want after this long rebuilding process of the last 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what are always the two most important positions right now, pass rusher and quarterback, and their quarterback next year will be on the last year of his deal, and both pass rushers, you know, Yannick Ngakoue and Max Crosby will be on the last years of their deals next season. So they've got a lot of questions to answer. And, you know, we're going to have plenty of time to kind of dig into who should be the next coach, because there's going to be a long ramp up. The first name that a lot of people are going to say, and it's a good name, is Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, a guy who it's pretty stunning that he still has not been given a head coaching job. He's had a lot of interviews over the last few years, and you would think, you would hope that he would be considered a candidate. One name I came to mind that I don't think would really be interested, especially with everything going on, but David Shaw is a name that gets mentioned in almost every head coaching opening, and certainly he has a history with the franchise. You know, his dad was Gruden's first defensive coordinator, and, you know, and he coached with the franchise. Those are a couple of names that I would just throw out there that you would think they would at least have to look at.
I think Bavada had Nathaniel Hackett, the Packers OC, leading as their candidate right now. Obviously, super early, but that's just another name.
I think, you know, the defense keeps playing well, and based on just the whole, like, you know, the attitude adjustment, and I think Gus Bradley will be a name that comes up at some point. I think he'll be a guy in the mix if the defense keeps playing well. I think people love that his whole positive aura he brings to the team. I think even guys in the offense have talked about it. So I think, obviously, if they keep playing well, I think he could also be on that list.
Yeah, I think whoever they go with, the most interesting aspect of it will be, you know, how much power do they have? Because, you know, they essentially gave Gruden full control. Do they want a coach that's just coaches? You know, it's just it focus on the X's and O's, and obviously, you know, give their input in personnel decisions, but not making the final call. And then you hire, or, you know, give Mayock the power to make more of an actual, you know, full GM acting full GM capacity. So that kind of dynamic, I think, would be the most interesting part. You know, do they take another chance on a coach running everything after the way it worked for them under Gruden, or do they kind of switch things up?
Well, it's kind of interesting because you look at the three coaches that have been there under when Mark Davis was the owner, and he's kind of done it different ways. Like the first coach, you know, Dennis Allen, Reggie McKenzie had all the power. Reggie McKenzie was calling all the shots at GM. And then that, you know, obviously Mark didn't like Dennis Allen. They brought in Jack Del Rio. That was Mark's hire. And they kind of were kind of half-half. So definitely they were kind of on equal footing, I believe, you know. And now with Gruden had the whole run of the show. So I think Mark's done it every different way. So don't know if he has a preference, but clearly he's seen it done differently. So we'll see what he wants to do this time. But yeah, there's a lot of things to watch where that really are going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be big to see who Mark Davis leans on, right? Who does he lean on as his, you know, his little circle of trust in terms of helping make the decision? I mean, we know Marcel Reiss is his senior advisor, I believe now. You know, we'll see how much power Marcel Reiss can wield, because we know that that he and Mark wanted him to have a bit of a role in the football operations, and Gruden wasn't really having that. And now that Gruden's out, any thoughts on what Marcel Reiss's possible expanded role could be like?
Yeah, I think you may have listened. I mean, obviously, it's an ugly situation, but there's always, you know, winners and losers. And I think Marcel Reiss is a big winner. I don't think John Gruden, and I know he wasn't crazy about Marcel getting involved in the football side. I mean, right now, Marcel's role is kind of more of like a business side, you know, community relations kind of guy, kind of getting his feet wet. But definitely he and Mark were planning on him being involved in football at some point. And I don't think that was going to happen with John. So I think that definitely now is back on the table. You mentioned who will Mark lean on, and he's really tight with Marcel. Marcel's definitely always, you know, on his right-hand side. And I think that'll be interesting to watch. I mean, I think we don't really know what's going to happen with Mike Mayock as far as who'll get more power, what will happen to him next year. But I definitely can say for sure that Marcel Reiss will have a bigger role going forward.
The next big moment to watch is going to be Wednesday. Rich Bisaccia will have his first press conference as the Raiders interim head coach. I presume we will hear from some players. That's normally the day that their Carr talks. You know, I mean, it's a tough position for the players. I mean, they're going to have to answer questions that they would rather not get. It's not fair to them that they have to deal with this. And, you know, I think you have to feel for the position that they're in. You know, I feel for Raider fans, because whether they liked Gruden or not, this is a rough stretch to have to go through to see their coach, to see their organization under fire and for stuff that is not of their doing. So, and we all know for Raider fans, it's been a rough, you know, I say 20 years, but I mean, you could probably even say 40 years, right? I mean, I think the last Super Bowl was the Super Bowl title, I believe 38 years ago or so. It relocated three times in the last 40 years. You know, for fans, they always show up, they're loyal, but they keep getting kicked down. And I think it's hard not to feel bad for them just to kind of undergo just another one of these crazy times.
Yeah, and I think, you know, on the coach and player note, for them having to speak first after this, you know, I think that's another move by Mark Davis that's pretty weak. I mean, you know, you're the one that made this decision to hire Gruden. You have to take most of the blame with how the situation played out. And, you know, I also think that was something that, coming off of Friday, you know, having the players having to speak for that on Sunday, you know, since you didn't address it Friday when you had the opportunity to, and just keep like passing the buck off of, in terms of responsibility of who has to answer for this, at least publicly. Even if he has something today or just move out the player coach stuff Wednesday and he has a press conference then, it just, I don't know, it just seems like a huge kind of disappointment for him not to speak first and kind of own this and allow the franchise and the fan base alike to move forward.
Maybe, you know, plans change and maybe they do add in a Mark Davis availability sometime after we record this. As of right now, nothing is scheduled, but, you know, we will give them the opportunity to, you know, to see if maybe that changes and then they do put Mark Davis out there before they put out the players. But yeah, I agree with you. If that is the case and we don't hear from Mark Davis on Wednesday and it's just Rich Bisaccia and a player or two, that's not a great look for the owner.
I'm sure the players are going to talk about, you know, Rich Bisaccia. He's a very popular coach. He's definitely a guy, I mean, all players really relate to. I think they're going to say, we can do this with him. There's no reason why he can't be a good coach. Even the talent we have hasn't changed. So I think they'll try and rally around him. I think it's interesting because I think Bisaccia is definitely a Gruden guy. He definitely, they're long tied together. I think they have similar coaching styles. So, I mean, well, he's just trying to pick up where John left off, and how would that be at all feasible? I really try to make some changes. I mean, I don't think he will, but we'll have to wait and see. So I think it's just kind of it'll be interesting. I just think it'll be the players, will make the most of it, and they'll say, you know, that they can win for Rich Bisaccia, but can they, given, you know, the problems that they have in this roster with the O-line and the run defense? I don't know.
I think the only positive you can take from this from a football side of things is that, I mean, we've seen teams kind of rally when, you know, the head coach gets fired, obviously, but for different reasons, because I don't think we've ever seen anything like this before. But, you know, we've seen teams able to rally and come together after a change at head coach. So I think there's a small chance that could happen with this team. But I mean, I guess that's the only sort of positive you could take from this.
All right, it has been a long 4 or 5 days here. It's going to be an interesting week. The Raiders will be heading to Denver on Sunday. You just wonder how they're gonna kind of pick up the pieces. We will be back on Thursday to talk a little bit more about, you know, Rich Bisaccia's first comments, the players' comments, and obviously to get you ready for the Raiders taking on the Broncos. But this has been an emergency edition of State of the Nation, and we appreciate all you guys listening.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.